My guest at this time is Diana Furchtgott-Roth. She's the former chief economist at the U.S. Department of Labor. She is now a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, where she directs the Institute's Economics 21 program. She joins us today to discuss Brexit. That's the decision of voters in the United Kingdom to separate from the European Union. And Diana, as always, great to have you with us. Thanks for your time today.
It's great to be with you.
You believe and have written that the European Union is a failed experiment, and you point to various mandates that the EU placed on Britain and others economically. What were some of the most egregious burdens?
I think the whole system where you have unelected bureaucrats in Brussels controlling the individual countries clearly is not working. And rather than pointing just to the structure, just look at the EU growth rate. It has some of the most educated people in the world, and it is growing at about 1%. It has very high youth unemployment, about 50% in some countries. By many, many measures, it is worse off than the United States or other countries or even Britain. The biggest loser from Brexit is not Britain, it is the European Union, because once Britain declares independence, then other countries are going to want to declare independence too. They don't like being governed by Brussels either.
Do you expect a domino effect here?
I do expect a domino event, and Marine Le Pen in France has been calling for Frexit, and there are other people too. You know, even someone here, one of my close friends, Ernie Christian, is calling for Texit. This is Texas leaving the United States. You don't know where these dominoes are going to land.
In addition to the economic aspects of it, you've also referenced the security issues. For example, the European Union deciding where the refugees are going to go from the Middle East, not the governments in those countries themselves. And then there's the efforts to thwart terrorism in general inside Europe, which has obviously been a big problem lately. How did that factor into all this?
I'm sure people were very, very concerned about the recent attacks in Paris. Britain is approaching the 11th anniversary of the bombings on the subway and the buses that took place in July. 11 years ago. So these are very serious matters. The problem is not so much the European Union assigning refugees. It's the European Union not being able to stop who gets in or control who gets in. There are ships coming to Greece, ships coming to Italy, and the number of people coming in is too many for authorities to see where they come from and to see whether they are just economic refugees, whether they come from countries that have military problems, or whether they are terrorists who want to do people harm. So there's a big problem in sorting out who is coming in.
We're talking with Diana Furchtgott-Roth. And Diana, what comes next in the UK? We should point out that you're a dual citizen between the US and the UK. And we know that David Cameron is resigning. He says he can't, in good conscience, shepherd this transition from the EU. So what type of leadership do you expect, and what type of policies will be most intelligent for Britain to follow as they make this transition?
Many people think that Boris Johnson's going to be the next prime minister. There's certainly going to be a battle as to who will be the next prime minister. But the important thing is to get new trade agreements into place. Britain has a trade deficit with the EU. The EU has an incentive to sign trade deals as soon as possible because the EU needs the markets. If it doesn't have the markets, its growth is going to go even lower than 1%. China is apparently very happy with Brexit. They want to sign deals with the United Kingdom. Different former Commonwealth countries such as Australia, New Zealand, Canada also want to be signing deals. People are going to be waiting in line to sign trade deals to have the advantage of Britain as a market for their products.
That's very interesting, because you have some folks out there, as I'm sure you're aware, who think this is a trade and financial disaster both for Britain and for investors, and they point to Friday's numbers on Wall Street and beyond as evidence of that. But you're saying this is actually going to be an economic boom, not only for Britain, but also potentially investors in other countries.
When the dust settles, yes. Investors don't like uncertainty. They didn't see this coming. They were brainwashed by the more socialist elements in Europe and in Britain saying that this could not occur and that, of course, the British would vote to stay in the EU. Now they're surprised. No one likes uncertainty or surprises, hence the falling markets.
Diana, Donald Trump was over in Scotland as the results came in, and he said on Friday that there's some similarities. The people in the UK were fed up. They wanted their country back. He says the people in the United States are fed up with the way things have been going. Do you think there's a striking parallel here, a slight parallel? What's your read on that comparison?
I think the similarities are with the polls, the way the polls did not really forecast that the Leave group would win, partly because people do not want to broadcast to pollsters opinions that they think are politically unpopular. We might see the same kind of thing here with people who are in favor of Trump but don't want to say so, also not revealing their preferences to pollsters. So it's possible that Trump is doing better than some polls show that he is.
Diana, you mentioned what you think is the smart way forward. What are some potential pitfalls or mistakes that Britain needs to avoid, regardless of who their leadership is here going forward?
Well, the main pitfalls, I think, would be other countries not signing trade agreements with Britain. I think, in general, it's a win-win for Britain. And the biggest pitfall is waiting to see who the new prime minister is before starting to take action on these trade deals. That needs to start immediately, and I'm sure many people in Britain want to do that. They want to get rid of the uncertainty. That's the important thing, to get rid of the uncertainty as soon as possible.
And lastly, this is obviously going to call for some speculation. We talked about the domino effect that could potentially come from other countries. What's the short-term and potentially long-term fate of the EU here?
I think the EU is the biggest loser. The EU is in very big trouble. Germany, France are countries that might want to leave. And so I think the EU needs to just reconsider how it is structured and what it's doing. It started off as a free trade zone. I think that was fine. But when it gets into regulatory harmonization, tax harmonization, countries think that that is too invasive. So it needs to really rethink how it operates in order to make itself more attractive to its members. I would suggest going back to the old EEC, European Economic Community, which was more a free trade zone and did not try to harmonize different regulations and tax regimes.
Fascinating to watch, and it's always good to have smart analysis. Diana, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much, Greg, for having me on your show.
Absolutely. Diana Furchtgott-Roth is a former chief economist at the Department of Labor. She is now a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, where she directs the Institute's Economics 21 program. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.